Yo, episode 164 of The O Show is dedicated in memory to the one and only Keith Elam, also known as Guru, one half of the legendary hip-hop duo Gangstar. You'll be sorely missed, my brother. You truly are, and always will be, real hip-hop.
Time for your weekly dose of the roads your people most. Fans of mixed martial arts and wrestling marks. Keep your speakers close. Introducing Big Daddy, Donnie, Danny, Yo, and Frank Fronte, the Fatty, the Tally, and the Rastafari. We fucking run the party. Visit our site and just realize that everything we typing up is hyperlust. No need to fight and fuss, leave it for the workers. We get on the mic and shut down all your servers. Stop that podcast before your wax squad gets a fat target on your back from Black Prophet. We blasting bomb shit, too scandalous for cameras, even though the internet can't handle us. Toronto to Los Angeles, we plan a bus in every session for the best show. Like a Bret Hart impression, just like Jordan, we Hall of Fame pros. So turn it up, niggas, it's time for the O Show.
I'm a survivor, and I'ma always remain. I'm a survivor.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 164 of Rated O Radio. This is the O Show. We are thrilled to bring it to you. It's going to be a big one. You know, 164 adds up to the magical number of 10.
It does.
6 plus 4.
Uh-huh.
Times 1.
True!
It's Ben Mass.
It's Ben Mass!
Dunno.
Wow.
My name is Big Daddy Donnie. That is your bro, Danny O.
Yo, and you got to pronounce it right. It's 164.
S-fo.
6-fo.
I moved out of Scarborough a while ago.
Oh, chew that.
164.
Right.
He's going to get hot at me, just like when he listens to that song, Waving Flag. You know? And like the one where it's like all the Canadian artists, like it's kind of like a We Are the World thing.
Except him.
No, but everyone except Daddy O.
Right.
But then the funny part was when we watched it like a month or so ago on YouTube, mm-hmm. We're watching it and everyone's like, when I get older. And they're all like feeling the vibe. Yeah. And then Avril does her verse. Yeah. And Dan's like, she's so fucking white.
She's when I get older, I will be stronger.
She's like overpronouncing every syllable.
Yeah.
Like Jeff Hardy.
Exactly in the likeness of a waving flag.
And that chirping motherfucker to my right is fucking Frank Fronte. What's up, dude?
I'm doing very well. And listen, that was only the second worst performance on that song. Cardinal mailed it in that night.
Nigga, I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I agree.
When you guys
Cardinal doesn't even sing on that track. He just talks.
That's what you said. And I don't understand what you're talking about.
It's not
about.
Even rapping. He's just talking.
Guy, he was pissed because Drake got his own spot in the car.
Yeah, Drake got a whole verse. And then Cardinal gets stuck with this. There's the hook where everyone's like, and we struggling. And then here's Cardi. Fighting to eat. That's Cardi, man. I could have done that.
I wanted to defend it, but that impression was so good. Do that again. And we struggling.
Fighting to eat. That's Cardi.
That's good.
Yeah.
I disagree, though. He sung, you know. He did put a little patois in there and made it and funked. He funkified it up while everyone else made
Tell
it.
Tell me,
so
I could have just done his role. Tell me, I couldn't have done his part.
Might have did one line, maybe.
If I was tanned, I'm a little taller.
You did not need to be tanned to be in that song.
Man, I'm a Cardi fan, man. His new track with Estelle is hot, man.
Is that right?
Oh, who cares? No one south of the 49th parallel gives a shit about Cardinal. So
that is definitely bullshit. Hush and bite your tongue, you shall.
Bite nothing.
Don't disrespect. Right, don't disrespect Cardi. He's been doing his thing, not just south of the border, but worldwide. He's Mr. International.
He's refused opportunities to come on this show. So until then, he can eat my left nut.
Really?
That's right.
When have you got at Cardi to get him on the show?
Oh, many times.
You know what we need to get at is motherfucking Sha Claire.
Oh yeah.
Because
you a trip to Raw.
Raw comes to Toronto next month.
Get your own hookups.
It's in a couple. No, nigga, this has been going on
promised.
For years.
I know, he promised.
And the Nation of O knows it.
I know.
All right. Now, before we even continue,
yeah,
I just want to say off the top, you know, we're dedicating this shit to the one and only Guru, man. And I just want to say that, you know, as part of the O Show, 164 episodes in, all y'all know, man, we handle wrestling, we handle pro wrestling, but your bro Danny O has, you know, entered the entertainment game as a musician. And Guru without
How long you been rapping now? 6 months?
Closer to 7.
Okay.
10 years. Craig is dead. Can I like say some nice stuff about him?
Go ahead.
Shit.
Just trying to make sure people don't. I can hear people turning off their players. That's all.
In all seriousness, man, Guru was one of those cats who epitomized real hip hop.
Yes,
I mean, he made the kind of music that, honest to God, like if an alien came from outer space and said, "What's this hip hop thing I keep hearing you Earthlings talking about?" I would fucking play a Gangstar album.
Wow,
I would legitimately play this and go, "This is what hip hop is." And we're talking about that sound, that street, that head snapping sound that Primo on the beats was all about. And every single lyric that ever came out of Guru mouth sounded like it was 100% from the heart, was completely true, and was real. And he made music you could feel, and he's definitely going to be one of those cats I'll definitely miss as a
fan. And I've told you this before. This is 100% shoot.
Yeah.
Work by Gangstar.
Yeah.
Featuring Guru.
No doubt.
Work. Well, not that kind of work.
No, a different kind of work.
The song Work, mm-hmm. which we're actually going to go out on this week.
We have to, man.
That is one of my all-time favorite songs. It's got to be top five all-time favorite songs of any genre.
I heard you say that before the show. And I was flipping. I remember, and I wrote this in an article, in memory of Guru this past week, that Work was your... ringtone.
Bro,
it's been
my ringtone on five different phones.
And that's what's crazy. I knew that you loved that song, but I didn't know it was your top five of all time of any genre of music.
Easy.
Gotta hear from you. What's that all about?
I don't know, man. It's like, it's... There was something about that song. The very first time I ever heard it, I was working at the internet radio station at the time when I was doing the first version of Live Audio Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember hearing that track on the hip-hop show hosted by Deadly Headley.
Wow.
The Jamaican.
Wow.
I love Deadly Headley.
Okay.
Deadly Headley, say. I love that guy.
All right.
He was a big-time reggae and hip-hop DJ in Toronto for many years.
Word.
Anyway, Deadly Headley played that track, and I immediately heard that beat. And it's like, you know when you just you click with a song on first listen, and you
all the time.
I feel like I know this song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I didn't know it. I'd never heard it, but I felt like I knew it. And like the beat and the words, I connected immediately. And don't get me wrong. I love everything that Gangstar has ever put out.
No doubt.
Guru's got one of the most identifiable voices in hip-hop.
Totally. Mostly the voice, son.
That's a thing that I always love in hip-hop, is when a guy's voice is identifiable.
No question.
You know, that's one of the things I love about the Monolith, Danny O's crew.
Word.
You know, you got 77 guys in Monolith.
True.
But every single one of them has a really unique sound.
No doubt. No
Except
doubt.
Destro. We don't know what he does.
No, he's very unique.
Who the fuck are you talking about right
now? Oh, he's not even in the crew, right?
Dest what? Guru definitely was known for the voice. Listen, we'll definitely go out on Work. Work is from the 1998 album,
love that track.
Moment of Truth. Moment of Truth is my favorite Gangstar album, so you definitely chose a good track to be one of your favorites of all time. And I'm telling y'all right now, if unfortunately it had to take Guru's death for you to get up on Gangstar...
Yeah.
Get up on Gangstar and Guru's material now. It is the shit. And damn, Guru, we're going to miss you, man.
Before we go to the O's and O's, a couple of housekeeping things we want to mention. April has been a tough month for the O Show family.
Yeah.
First off, the loss of our bro, Chris Canyon, that happened a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now, no other deaths, I'm glad to report, but some close calls. Lufisto, who is a member of this show for a long time. She had her own segment.
Yeah, that's right.
Where she interviewed wrestlers and got them to talk about their dirty sex escapades.
Mm-hmm.
Lufisto, the first lady of O.
Yes.
The super hardcore.
The queen of O, if you will.
The queen of O.
Yes.
Super hardcore anime. At the age of 30 years old, this past Saturday, Lufisto suffered a stroke.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was really glad to hear before we went on air, and I'm sure you're going to fill in the Nation of O, that... she's doing okay.
She's doing okay. I've talked to Lufisto several times since that happened. The incident happened after a wrestling event.
Yeah.
30 minutes after she worked a main event match.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. She started feeling pain. The left side of her body went numb. She collapsed. And one of the young wrestlers there, Alex Silva, he called the paramedics immediately. Thankfully, they did, because the situation is with any stroke, if you catch it soon enough, then a lot of damage can be prevented.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, she had a minor stroke with no scarring on her brain. 2 days later, Lufisto regained full strength.
Good.
And she's recovering. She's resting at home with family. And she's feeling good. I asked her straight up. I'm like, girl, does this mean you're hanging up your boots? And she says she's wrestling June 5th for Femmes Fatale against Sarah Del Rey. I hope that if that is the case, that those boots get hung right after that. Because... There have been cases, you know, something like this. This can be potentially fatal if you get a bad bump or a bad hit to the head.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see what happens. Now, her side is that the stroke was not a result of her wrestling career and injury she sustained. She has a extensive genetic history of stroke and brain type ailments. Her father died of a similar situation at the age of 31.
Oh my!
Wow, really?
Yeah. So.
Oh shit!
All the best goes out to Jen Goulet,
listen,
the lady
Jen,
known as Lufisto, and she's a good friend of ours, and
no doubt
and we're looking out for her.
I just want to say I know you're listening. She always does, and Jen, we love you, man. Just take care of yourself, please. You know.
And also another member of the Osho fam, Daphne. Daphne, one of the very first people ever to join us on this program. Daphne sustained a very serious injury at the tapings this past week. She's got a very badly, deeply bruised sternum. Which, if you've ever had that, I mean, you can't fucking breathe.
No.
She also suffered a stinger that caused some temporary paralysis.
Oh, man.
So that's what our girl Daphne's dealing with. And then, another step further, another member of the Osho family, Rico Montana, who's been on this program in studio twice in the last month. Rico, I was talking to him on Monday. He was on a layover on his way down to Mexico. And we were having a nice, good chat. Within 2 hours later, he was at the at a hospital fighting for his life as his gallbladder erupted.
Jeez.
Completely exploded. And that can be fatal. And
yeah, that's insane.
Rico managed to get help in time, thankfully. And he's now resting. He could be out anywhere from a month to 6 months. So we'll see what happens with our boy Rico Montana. Dude, all the best. He told me straight up earlier today. He's like, this is the first day I've been able to talk since this happened. And he's like... it was the most pain I've ever felt in my life, without a doubt.
Man,
he's on every painkiller there is, and it's not helping.
This is obviously time where we, you know, want to encourage the entire nation to send out their love to everybody out there who needs it. There's a lot of our family members who, man, just get better, y'all.
Fuck.
I mean, this is much better.
Nobody else get hurt or sick if you've ever been on our show for the rest of April.
Yeah,
please.
I was just going to say,
because we're gonna stop the show.
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel bad.
Seriously.
Like, the Daniel curse has gone from electronics to
people. Don't blame that shit on me.
I don't know, dude.
No, if your computer's fucked, that's my fault. I didn't do
maybe
shit.
Maybe the Daniel curse has extended past hardware and software.
Listen, man, it ain't my nut Rico swallow. That's his shit.
Okay.
All right, don't blame me.
Get better, brother.
Please do.
O's and O's. O's and O's.
And now it's time for O's and
O's.
Oh, no.
Oh, Daniel's got something to say.
So listen, Donnie Pumps, are you happy? Are you happy?
This Fagatron finally puts me in a Daniel music video in a blooper outtake where he's trying to talk to fucking Conwell on the phone. It's a blooper outtake from
Last Minute.
Last Minute.
Yeah.
And all you hear is, yo, Conwell, what's up? Boop. Let's try it again. Yo, Conwell. Boop. Yo, man, fucking someone's texting me. It's fucking Donnie Pumps. Fucking
and then
cut
lord. They got the classic TJ laugh in there, too, which I always like.
Which is always familiar.
Now, you know, you got your spot, man.
I wanted to be in a video, not just have my name mentioned in a dissing fashion in a blooper outtake.
Listen, you got to start. You got to build.
Starting small?
Okay. You got to build.
That's fine. I'm good
with
that.
You know the analogy, right?
But I'll say this.
Yeah.
Then he calls me cunt lord.
Yeah.
Which to me is the greatest put over ever.
There you go.
Cunt
see?
Lord? I'm the lord of the cunts. It's fucking fantastic.
That's a great gimmick.
Is that an insult?
You're the lord of smelling like cunts.
He's like, cunt. I don't mind that either.
That's awesome.
To him, that's a problem.
Yeah. I forget who I'm dealing with here.
Cut Lord. From this day forward, I shall no longer be known as Big Daddy Donnie. I am the Lord of the Cunts.
Donnie Pumps.
I'm okay with that.
Yo.
A pretty good handle.
If y'all ain't checked that shit out yet, the link is up with the O Show.
It's check a dope out idea for a video, by the way.
Thank you very much. Locked is the latest from Dilla Pickles. Check it out. It's on YouTube. Go and go fucking check the links on the O Show, nigga.
Fantastic. Okay, I got to mention this real quick, and this could spin out of control, but let's try to keep this tight.
All right.
I don't know whether to O or no for this,
okay,
but I don't know if you guys have heard about this very controversial subject happening right now in the province of Ontario, and that is that starting in September, sex education for grades 6, 7, and 8 kids.
Yep.
Okay, so we're talking about what, like 11, 12, 13-year-olds
right
in that range,
yeah,
maybe 14.
Mm-hmm.
sex education for those kids, which they're already receiving,
yeah,
is about to get enhanced.
Okay.
Whereas they're going to start talking about not just how sex happens or the mechanics of sex or how babies are made, which is essentially what it is.
Like, right.
Talking about the reproductive organs, right, and the parts of and blah, blah, blah. Now they're going to be using this sex ed time to also talk about sex as pleasure.
Wow.
Oh, my.
Going so far as to talk about masturbation techniques.
Really?
For men and women.
This ain't in Catholic school.
Yeah, bro.
Really?
Really?
Wait a minute. Didn't the three of us go to Catholic school?
All three of us.
Didn't they teach against that shit? Wasn't masturbation bad and gay? Well,
maybe it's not in the Catholic program. It's definitely in the public program.
It must be the public program.
But I know this, okay? That's part of what they're teaching, as well as pleasure through anal sex.
Oh, no.
Oh, I knew it.
Through male and female.
I knew it. Catholic school, then.
Yeah, that's for sure going down at Catholic school.
That's a priest class.
Yeah, priest comes in special for that one.
Father McGivney is here. At Father McGivney.
At Father McGivney High School. Which is a gay school.
Well,
how do you guys feel about this?
Well,
grade 6, 7, and 8-year-old?
Yeah.
Grade 6, 7, and 8. Should they be taught sex for pleasure?
You know, man. Look, man.
You know what? I'll say this. Okay, I'll say this much.
Go ahead, please.
There is a lot of scientific evidence that supports masturbation. Helps your prostate.
Frank wrote it.
He knows. Frank's got the fucking doctrine of masturbation on his wall at home for sure.
Shoot!
He's like, I can defend every reason to masturbate.
Shoot!
I can tell you why 14 times a day is part of a nutritional balanced diet.
He's gonna do your cardiovascular.
Right.
He could also write the manual on techniques.
Yeah.
You know?
Look at my forearm, man.
When no one else is touching you but you, you find ways to jerk off with your feet, put it in a door, stick it in
Frank
a couch.
Frank's practically engaged to himself. He's writing nuptials to him.
It's going steady, that's for sure.
Scientific journals.
Yeah.
I talked about the cardiovascular benefits, the psychological benefits to masturbating.
Yeah, but is that necessary for 11 and 12-year-olds whose fucking metabolism is through the roof anyway? They don't need cardio.
Look, man. I'm going to be for real. I don't really give a fuck about the masturbation talks.
All right.
Because them niggas is probably joking off already anyway. Okay?
So then should they be getting educated on it?
They should be told how good it is.
I really don't think you need jerk-off class in school, to be honest. Because...
Not even at Danny
O'High? Techniques? At Danny O'High? I gotta work on that curricula right there.
Danny O'High. There'd be no class in pussy eating, we know that.
No. But there'd be a lot of female mouths surrounding Wally.
There'd be no gay tolerance classes.
See, and this is the thing about that. And I don't want to go on this whole gay bashing thing.
But you will.
But do we really need to teach anybody, let alone grade 6, 7, and 8, how to stick a dick in somebody's ass? Oh, I mean, is this for real? Are you working us, man?
Do you know where the male G-spot is?
You've looked for it many a time, have you not?
Do you know where the male G-spot is?
Listen, that's a fucking work if I ever heard
it. It's not a work.
That is bullsh.
It's not bullsh.
It's
next time you're getting a Hummer, tell a chick to stick her finger in your ass. Tell me if you don't blow a bigger load.
Listen.
Just tell me.
I've nutted enough times to know that the shit feels good without anything going up in my ass.
Okay.
All right?
That's like
it's not like I'm missing out on a special kind of... Are you telling me that I'm missing out on a special kind of nut?
I don't know. You tell me. Go experiment for yourself. I'm not going to experiment with your dick.
So you... So who's touched your G-spot?
Listen, I'm just saying that science indicates the way that this shit works.
What have you put in there?
One ketchup bottle. Fuck off.
If grade 6, 7, and 8s in Ontario can learn, then the nation of O deserves...
Maybe we should have our own
...deserves
class.
You to tell them how it works. Well, what do you stick in there to make it happen?
Listen.
What is your take on this? Are you down with this?
I don't know. And I say this from a different perspective because I used to be a school teacher and I taught sex ed.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that kids blush and go crazy
at
the general generic talks. And then if you break into this...
I used to laugh at the word naked when I was that age.
I still do.
Let's go on to another topic.
All right.
This one stays up in the air. I'm not sure if I'm owing or not.
Weigh in, Osters, because I don't know you. That's fucked up. No for me.
Huge, huge O. One of my favorite shows is back. Deadliest Warrior.
Yes.
Season 2. Fucking dope.
You've been dying to O for that.
Huge O.
Yeah.
SWAT team murked the GSG-9s.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Eat a dick, you bunch of Germans.
Yeah, of course Americans are going to beat the Germans.
Yeah.
That's a work.
Had there been more Jewish dummies, it might have been different.
Oh, man.
No?
I don't know. I missed that episode.
Tim told me that joke.
When does it comes on? You said Tuesdays, right?
Yeah, Tuesdays at 10.
Tuesdays at 10 on Spike.
On Spike.
There's your free put over. It is a good show. I'm going to check it out starting next week for sure.
Fucking right it is.
Yeah, it's illness.
Okay, some Wrassle Talks.
Yeah, let me just throw this out there.
Go ahead.
There's a new wrestler on SmackDown.
Who's he?
Gay TG. Thanks, Frank. So I know you got to make these Crime Time niggas look different. So we're going to shave one and pussify the other.
You don't like that hair?
What is the deal with that,
son?
Damn. I'm just not into chick-headed dudes.
I didn't have that big a problem with JTG this week.
That's pimping, man.
He's me. He's my new K-Quick.
But when Snoop Dogg did it, it was okay.
You can't hate on K-Quick. He blew up this week.
Don't you hate on Snoop.
Dude,
listen, let's go to the real old... That's... What a no that was. Not just a no that MacGruber exploded K-Quick. But the cameras caught K-Quick running off screen anyway.
Did Kevin Dunn,
holy
the TV
shit,
producer
dude.
For Raw, did he blow it or what?
Damn, son.
Okay, cut to camera three. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Let me just throw this out there. Oh, shit, this isn't SmackDown.
Let me throw this out there because I really don't want to waste too much time on this.
It's like the SmackDown crew came on and all of a sudden all the SmackDown curses followed.
Right. Oh, we don't get to edit here.
Yeah.
Now, look. All right, noted gay TG, but I'm going to leave that hair alone for the absolute, what's the word I'm looking for? Atrociousness?
Atrociosity.
The atrociosity.
You're welcome.
Of what was Raw. I want to ask the entire nation of all. Seriously, is there any grown male out there who feels comfortable actually telling people that they watch Raw still? For real?
I watch Raw. I tell people I watch Raw.
You got a nigga who peed his pants, and we got a 3-minute segment of him trying to explain that he didn't pee his pants, someone else did, and as a friend, he put it on. I mean, I'm at least wanting to try to laugh.
I don't know MacGruber. I don't know Saturday Night Live MacGruber. I don't know the movie MacGruber. All that sketch did was make me know that I'm never going to go watch MacGruber.
Nee!
So the comedy is whack. The writing is stupid.
Horrible, guy.
I bet Triple H wrote it. Off we go.
Dude, that whole episode was atrocious.
Yeah, I don't know. There was some stuff for Monday Night Raw I did like. And keep in mind, the show was written like just minutes before they went to air because they didn't have a cast. So give them a little bit of a bly. They had a whole bunch of subs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, substitute teachers do their job.
I'm sure they had the MacGruber gimmick ready to go regardless.
Sure, but maybe it was going to unfold differently. Who knows, okay? But MacGruber was whack. We know guest hosts usually are. They can't all be Hasselhoff.
Nope.
Yeah, but there's a difference between Hasselhoff and Will Forte playing a character that he plays in a movie that we're supposed to buy is still in character for the whole show.
They've done that before on Raw with the guest host.
Kaluber, man.
I know.
Did we actually see a match?
Well, the funny thing about Khali
coming
out as MacGruber's half-brother or whatever the fuck he was, the last time we saw Khali on TV, he lost a match and he said, you know, through his interpreter, Ranjan Singh, he's like, Khali is going back to India to refocus, and when he comes back, he's going to be world champion.
Right.
Didn't work out.
No.
He came back as Kaluber.
Sorry. Kalubre, according to Lillian Garcia, who fucked up her one night back on the microphone.
Welcome back, Lil.
Yeah, way to go, baby.
Huge O for me, and you know what? There's a lot of Osters out there that hate on me for this, but y'all can suck my left nut,
because
Daniel's sucking the right one. But I'll say this. Kozlov, I'm owing.
Yes.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
The only thing that sucked was when MacGruber challenged him and stood up to him, they should have booked it where Kozlov killed him right there on the spot.
Right.
He should not be selling for MacGruber in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
He should have been monster old school heel. You talk to me, I'll fucking drop you.
Yeah.
But other than that, the guy is old school. People go, oh, he's boring. Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck your what?
Fuck my... But where the G spot is.
Yeah. Why do I laugh at this shit?
Because Kozlov is awesome. I love him. I love everything old school about him. And people can hate on me. I don't give a shit.
I don't think they should have put him in this gimmick because he's old school, because he should be a monster heel. He's there, you know, pandering to this bullshit gimmick of MacGruber.
He's the only other Raw guy that was there. They had to do something with him.
Is he a Raw guy?
Yes.
See, and I would like to throw out a no because. I can't tell the difference. Even the guys who were on SmackDown, who were on Raw, I'm like, oh, okay. It really didn't put only when they said that the guys were in Ireland did I realize, oh, I guess SmackDown's filling in for Raw.
The gross majority, 95% of the guys that were on Raw this week are never on Raw. So your argument doesn't hold water.
I don't know.
It's champions that go back and forth. It's guys in main event programs like Batista that go back and forth. The 95% of the roster stays where they are, and that's it. So, no, that's a fact. Look it up. When was the last time Matt Hardy was on Raw?
I've seen CM Punk, Ray. These guys have been on Raw
because
in the
CM Punk has
been
involved in an angle because they had this really hot thing going on. But for the majority, I said 95%. So he's in that 5%.
All right, fine. Well, I still think that there's really no barriers. And you got this. When is the draft, Frank? Next week?
Next week?
Yeah. 3-hour show.
I know for that. It's a work. It always has been.
Of course,
draft
it's a
means
work.
Nothing.
It's wrestling.
And I don't care what show you go on. I'm going to see you on the other show somehow.
It's not true,
anyway.
Though. It's not true.
I say true.
But the facts don't support what you're saying. The top 6-7 guys, yes, they're going to flip-flop and they're going to go back and forth.
Well, then that's all that matters. If those are the
Why
top,
is that what matters?
Because the main
There's
event...
There's a whole roster.
The main event picture is what keeps the show going. What
no, it's
separate?
Not.
Why not?
It's the whole story of the show from start to finish.
And they combine,
you're only
going to
see...
And they cross the barriers all the time.
I don't know.
You see SmackDown guys on Raw and vice versa all the time.
I think if you did a roster-by-roster comparison and say who goes where and who's been where over the last year, you'll see that they've stuck to it pretty decently.
I don't know, man.
John Cena's never on SmackDown. He
Ever.
Should be full-time on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Batista
right.
came back.
John
and what
Cena
did he do?
Should get drafted to SmackDown.
Absolutely. See, but the draft is bull.
Why is it bull? Cena's never been on SmackDown. He's been on SmackDown
You're bringing
like once
up,
or twice.
Batista came back and he went to SmackDown. All of a sudden, he's WWE champion and he's on Raw. There's no, I changed brands or I got a new contract.
But they have
even
educated,
an explanation.
They've educated the audience to believe that when there's a title involved, you have the freedom to pick where you're going to hold that title.
No, they
have.
Haven't.
They've done that for years.
The belt stays on the show and that's how it works.
Okay, here's a huge no, and all let's right. look at TNA. They give away Rob Van Dam versus Jeff Hardy on TV this week. No fucking build.
Right.
No intro. Nothing. Then they put the strap on RVD later on that night off of AJ Styles. No build. Nothing. And first of all, that's a pay-per-view main event.
Exactly.
And Frank made a point to me while we were watching the show, because I was watching with Frank this week, and he says, they don't care about pay-per-views. No. They only care about TV ratings, which is true. It's an excellent point. Pay-per-views are a vehicle for them right now just to, you know, build and maybe pick up some buys.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. But the TV is what they're all about. Okay, I get that. Should they have staggered it to next week? Next week's show's taped, so you're not going to put the strap on a taped.
No.
Mm-hmm.
But could you not have spun this out for 2 weeks? You could have done Jeff Hardy versus RVD next week on the taped show.
Oh, dude, we were saying if Jeff Hardy turns heel on RVD, they've shut 3 months of angles in one night.
Right. There's a lot of ways they could have gone with that. And you know what? To do it all in one show. And then a lot of Osters got at us this week and they said, wow, TNA was a hot show this week. And I'm like, yeah, where do they go from here?
Mm-hmm.
They put all their bullets in one chamber and they're all gone.
Yeah.
Very quickly, a couple other quick stories. ODB, huge no for this bitch. And I know I've said this before. Every fucking time that stupid bitch gets rolled up, she sells the roll up for another fucking minute. I actually counted. After she got rolled up and the roll-up ended, it was 10 full seconds that she laid on her shoulders, kicking her legs in the air, until Daphne came over and pulled her down. There are several times when she's selling the roll-up after she's been let go by her opponent who rolled her up, where she's actually falling from one side to the other, and she regains her balance to continue this ridiculous sell.
Wow.
If she thinks that this is a fun gimmick, she's an idiot. And I'll say that to her fucking face the next time I see her. I think it's stupid, and I think it kills business.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Especially when she was working as a babyface this week. You fucking big-tittied fucktard.
I just want to throw this out there, too. I kind of hate when, and this happened when CM Punk was pinned by Triple H on Raw this week, when they lift the leg, you know, you hook the leg, and your other leg goes up.
Right.
That's been happening forever. That's got to stop.
Yeah, no, isn't that the truth?
Why does that happen?
And here's a fun drinking game next time you watch TNA.
Okay.
Count Rob Terry's botches per minute.
Okay.
He had a spot this week on TNA that was literally a minute long, and he had 3 botches in a minute.
Wow.
All of them huge. And it's like, we know he can't do anything, but they gave him such a small window to fuck up, and he still found a way to fuck up.
He found that window crack.
Tree Time, brethren.
Truss.
Unbelievable, that guy.
Neenus. Lots of no's.
Here's one, and this one makes me oh only because it's funny. From now on, when people say Fat Hardy, I don't know who they mean.
Wow.
Because Jeff's getting Pudge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know who they mean when they say that. So, anyway, kind of funny. And finally, this is a bit of a no for me. Is this the rule now? Anytime you have a three-person crew and they're tag team champs, does the Freebird rule always apply?
Because
apparently
know.
The tag titles are just swapping between those three whores and the beautiful people. It's like, you know, Madison Rayne wins the women's championship, right. So now Lacey's holding the tag belt and she's defending it. Right. Is that always? If that's always the rule, anytime you have titles and you're a three-person crew, you can invoke the Freebird rule, why isn't every tag team got an alternate?
Absolutely true.
They should all be three-man crews.
Absolutely.
Everyone should have. In fact,
why wouldn't you have a third
brand? If you're a two-man tag team, you're dumb.
Exactly.
Yeah, they should all be three-man. Have a five-man crew and invoke the Freebird rule.
Invoke the Spirit Squad rule.
Yeah, Spirit Squad rule.
Yeah.
Five men, any two of us can defend it.
Yeah, anytime.
Why not?
I agree.
Yeah, the three of us could be tag champs. Frank would never get in there, though.
No, he wouldn't get in there.
No.
No.
Neither would Dan. Just to
please. Who's taking the most bumps at the in this studio here?
That's debatable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I didn't say humps. I said bumps.
Oh, sorry. I misheard you. There's a few other things we got to talk about. Huge note. Jack Swagger jobs a fucking gen. Mm-hmm. You put the title on this guy and he jobs every week. And twice this week on Raw and SmackDown. Is this just to keep it out of left field when he goes over on Randy Orton? Or is this because they really have no vision in this guy whatsoever? I don't know. We can talk about that later.
All right.
And some roundtable stuff that I want to get to a little bit later
on
as well.
We will.
My name is Big Daddy Donnie.
Yes, sir.
That's your bro, Danio.
It is.
Frank.
Yeah.
Frank got a promotion this week.
Frank did get a promotion.
I did.
I see this nigga's busy over
here. All thought the next time an Osho memo went out on Frank, it'd be, we wish Frank Fronte the best in his future endeavors. Frank Fronte has been promoted to associate technical producer of the Osho.
His current endeavors are looking pretty good.
Not bad current endeavors.
I'm
going to take the break. We'll be back right after this.
This is Jim Cornette, the executive producer of Ring of Honor Television on HDNet and a pro wrestling legend, and you're listening to The O Show, and you made the right choice.
As a certified personal trainer, I always get asked about healthy snack alternatives. I really had no idea outside of the traditional choices. That is until I found
Organic Select.
Organic Select offers healthy alternatives to everyday eating with a line of 100% certified organic snacks,
including raw cashews, blueberries, pumpkin seeds, and my favorite, Goji Sport Mix.
Organic food is free of pesticides and is more nutritious than conventional products.
Going organic also benefits the environment and supports community farming. For more information, visit organicselect.ca and make healthy living your best revenge.
LegacyBelts.com is making legends one belt at a time. This is the company that makes world championship title belts for boxing, wrestling, martial arts, and other special events. Feature films such as I Spy starring Eddie Murphy and Owen Wilson and Ali starring Will Smith have featured title belts made by Legacy Belts. For more information, check out LegacyBelts.com.
LegacyBelts.com, making legends one belt at a time.
What up, Osters? This is your bro, Danny O, and you know your man, Big Daddy Donnie, thought that it couldn't be done. But the O Show theme 2010 is our best theme yet.
It's true.
And here it is, available for all of y'all for just a mere 89 cents.
Mm.
Download the O Show theme 2010 at the O Show's music store. You know where the link is, on theoshow.com.
Hey, this is Lefisto, and you're listening to The O Show. Don't fuck with The O Show.
And Invisible!
Oh yeah, it's over, yo, it's time.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of the show where we sit down with the internet's most controversial man. He is the one and only Notorious T.I.D. It's your time, Tid. What's on your mind?
Well, if anybody got to see this the past weekend, the free fights. Well, and I say if anybody got to see it because they were down about 30% from their last fucking show.
Yeah.
The Strike Force program on CBS with the stellar commentating team of Gus Johnson and Mauro Ranallo and Frank Shamrock. It's just top notch there, boys. Apparently, cricket hasn't called for new announcers yet.
Wow. Yo, 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 and away we go.
You know, it's
wow,
horrible sometimes hearing Gus Johnson call because, I mean, it's quite obvious that they couldn't get Bryant Gumbel. So they said, we need to get somebody who's slightly tan, but not too dark, and certainly not street at all. This motherfucker has to be so white that people will not be able to tell. And
Gus,
they got Gus Johnson.
Gus Johnson makes Michael Cole sound like Vin Scully.
Seriously,
wow.
You know. And then,
wow.
And then they only had three matches that were on. You know, not too bad. I mean the Gilbert Melendez, Shinya Aoki, Gilbert Melendez did exactly what I thought he was going to do, and he just basically manhandled Aoki, didn't want to get involved in his jiu-jitsu game whatsoever. We knew that was going to happen. And then you had Dan Henderson come in and fight Jake Shields. Jake Shields looked like a statue standing there in the first round, and that's exactly why Dan Henderson able to boop, hit him, knock him down, landed on his forehead,
yeah.
And then Dan Henderson made the mistake of coming in and kind of, you know, went to hit him again and kind of woke him up, gave Jake Shields a chance to recover. Jake Shields ends up, you know, not gassing out like Dan Henderson does and ends up squeaking out a decision. It was dominant. Basically, he humped Dan Henderson for five fucking rounds after that.
Sounds sexy.
And he got the win. And then the real show started.
Yeah.
Because as boring as this fucking card was, you know, and let's not forget, King Mo goes out there and beat Luol with Superior Wrestling and basically humped him to death, too. Huh. So it was Hump Force on CBS.
Hump Force.
Hump Force.
And afterwards, you know, Gus Johnson's out there getting ready to do his thing with Jake Shields, and you're expecting this to be all boring and bleh, and in comes Jason Miller. And Jason Miller says, "Hey, buddy, where's my rematch?" All tongue-in-cheek, you know, whatever. And Jake, if you watch it a couple of times, Jake even kind of gives him that, you know, that little slap in the chest like, hey. And, you know, Miller kind of nudges in, gives him a little shoulder-to-shoulder thing and puts his face in the mic, asks for his rematch. And then you've got the little fucking Mexican chihuahua over there, Gilbert Melendez, who decides to pipe up and say, hey, leave my buddy alone. And this
nice.
Is on all fours with, like, the entire Team Caesar Gracie, which is both the Diaz boys. And you can see Nick Diaz has him in the back, and he's hitting him in the back. Hit him in the back. Remember this, guys. And you see Nate Diaz is standing on the outside, and they show the above camera thing, and he's laying boots to him from the, you know, from the outside and moving around, and there's a big melee, and there's like 40 people inside of the octagon, and Gus Johnson is going, guys, we're on national television. This is just a disgrace, and you have to remember that, oh my God, in the world of MMA, sometimes this happens because, you know, testosterone is a little high here in MMA, and sometimes this happens in MMA, and it's like,
wow.
Okay, fucktard.
Now
you've gone and done it. You should have just left fucking Sleeping Dogs Lie.
Yeah.
The Caesar Gracie guys. Obviously, to me, this screams of an entire fucking work.
Mm.
Well, Jason Miller came out of this, you know, completely unscathed. He had an entire group of champions on his back, and he came out of it unscathed.
Yeah.
I find that hard to believe. Number two.
Yeah.
This is Jake Shields' last contracted fight with Strike Force.
Peace.
This puts him in a huge negotiating position because, yep, okay, he went out there and he beat Dan Henderson.
Yeah, he did.
So everybody's going to assume that, you know, Jake Shields is going to go off to fight in the UFC.
Dana,
that's what everybody's already talking about. But in order for him to do that, he'd have to relinquish the Strikeforce belt, obviously, and off he would go. So how
which,
do you get
which
him
he
to
would do in a heartbeat if he had a UFC money contract guaranteed?
Of course. Yeah.
He'd be like,
course.
What belt?
So Jason Miller did the greatest thing he possibly could for Jake Shields. Hey, let's build a little drama so that the Strikeforce guys will shoot you even more money
yeah.
so that we can have that rematch before you go.
Yeah. Smart. It's a little bit of collusion between the fighters.
You know, that's
smart.
What I'm seeing. That's what I'm seeing in this whole thing.
You know what
so
it reminds me of?
About, now they're talking about the Tennessee Athletics Commission is going to get involved and look at this stuff. And, you know, what really happened? Because everybody's thinking, oh, it's another black eye on the fucking world of MMA. Okay, how many black eyes can the world of MMA possibly have?
Yeah, really. It's only got two eyes.
Fights happen in sports.
Yeah,
oh, my
true.
God, it's hard to believe that somebody went to a fight and an actual fight broke out.
Right.
You know what's funny, Tid? There's a real wrestling comparison there, right? The whole thing about, hey, what do you say? We go at it, you know, and now Shields has got some negotiating leverage. This is no different than indie worker is on a show, has his match, and win or lose, at the end of his match, he grabs the mic and says, hey, everybody, how about we do this again next time?
Exactly.
Unscheduled promo, and the crowd goes nuts, and the booker's going, you fucking fuckatron.
Yep, now I gotta book you. Now I gotta pay you. Right. Exactly.
That's officially known as the flatliner, that
and
move. That's actually what it's called, to pull a flatliner.
Is that what it says on Wikipedia?
Yeah. You flatlinered.
You know?
It means you got yourself rebooked with your own freelance promo.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Smart.
At least, fucking right it is.
At least Burnsy learned something.
Yeah. Hey, listen. Last week we joked about this, what to do about Anderson Silva. And we joked about Dana White should turn into a heel promoter like Vince McMahon. And guess what? Dana White turned into a heel promoter like Vince McMahon and said, if Anderson Silva's next fight is not up to standards, he will be stripped of the title and fired on the spot after his next fight.
Well, that's nice, Gus Johnson, but close, but no cigar.
Okay.
And what he actually said is that if Anderson Silva acts the way that he did, that he will strip him of his fight. His next fight is going to end up being against Chael Sonnen, you know, who says that it's his moral obligation to beat up Anderson Silva.
Whatever that means.
I don't know what that means coming from the really white guy from the Pacific Northwest. I don't know if it's because he just doesn't like Brazilians, but everybody should. It's a good waxing technique.
Keeps your bum smooth.
Do.
Keep the taint fresh.
You know, so, I mean, and good on Dana. Good on Dana, like we're saying. I mean, this is exactly what he should do.
Yeah.
You know, because if Anderson Silva is going to be the champ, you go out there and you fight like the champ.
No doubt.
And, you know, I don't care about, oh, he disrespected me or whatever. Then you know what? Knock him the fuck out.
Right.
Yeah, totally. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
You know? We were all waiting for it.
So get it done and get it over with.
Right.
And then, with all of the talk of everything that the fiasco that was, you know, Dubai, and now the fiasco that was Strikeforce, at least we have the WEC this weekend to be some kind of saving grace.
What are you really looking forward to on that fight, on that show?
Well, you know, it's this is their first time on pay-per-view.
Right. You're looking forward to not having to spend money again when they go back to free TV.
Hmm. Yeah, well, you know what? I think this is going to be a really good proving ground for the promotion itself. And, you know, it looks like, I mean, Zuffa's obviously taken over the reins on this one. They've got Goldberg and Rogan doing the commentating.
Yeah.
They've got
Bill Goldberg?
They got Bruce Buffer. Another Goldberg. This is Artie Goldberg. He's a pharmacist in Queens. He actually won a contest, you cunt.
Because Bill got fired by Trump, so he's available.
Well, I heard
taking
the negotiations with your boys over at WWE there, so.
Yeah, he had a funny comment on his Twitter. He said, negotiations are stopping until the WWE realizes I'm not just another wrestler.
That is true. He's not.
What is he,
Ted? Never was.
Yeah.
He was never a wrestler.
You're never a wrestler. So
just ask William Regal.
Get over yourself there, Bill.
Yeah. Okay, Ted, in 10 seconds or less, what fight are you really looking forward to this Sunday?
You know what? Everybody's looking forward to the main event between Jose Aldo and Uriah Faber, where Uriah Faber's actually coming in as the underdog in his own hometown here. But I'm looking forward to the rematch between Donald Cerrone and Benson Henderson. I think this is going to be a fight that you're going to have to watch for, because it's going to go, and it's going to go hard for a long time. If you saw the last time that Benson Henderson and Cerrone got it on, the submissions that Henderson got out of, the knockout positions that Cerrone got out of.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be a hell of a rematch. And, you know, it's a really good testing ground, because a lot of these guys are going to be looked at to be bumped into the UFC, because the WEC, it looks like, is going to be adding some even lighter weights.
Check that.
You know, a little 135, like fat chick weight.
Fat chick. That's what it should be. Awesome. Tid, I'm looking forward to it. My prediction, though, is that the WC pay-per-view is going to draw flies. And
I don't know if it'll draw. I mean, I don't know if it'll draw flies. I don't think that it's going to do. It certainly wouldn't do any worse than any of the other fighting shows that are out there. It'll be interesting to see how well the UFC and Zuffa, more importantly, have done their homework and they're promoting.
Don't get me wrong. The card itself, I think, will be better than the next UFC pay-per-view. But I don't think that people have caught on to it quick enough, or the ones that have, I don't know if they're ready to invest their money because they've been getting it for free.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying. But we'll see. I could be wrong. It's happened once before.
It was a day that ended with Y every single time.
Notorious TID, ladies and gentlemen. You can check him out online each and every day. You can send him email.
I'm never there.
Yeah, that's true. You can send him email, and he will probably ignore you.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
Naked pictures of your mom.
Send naked pictures of your mom to tid@theoshow.com. Thanks, Tid.
I never get those emails.
Yeah, Donnie keeps
them. What the hell? I've never gotten one tid@oshow.com. What the fuck is going on here?
It's because you don't check them.
Because you don't send them.
Right.
Well, hey now. I got to save those naked pictures of people's moms.
Yeah, to make sure one of them ain't yours.
Yes. Fucking right. Happy birthday, Mom. We'll talk to you next week, Tid.
Ciao.
Notorious TID, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to break. And as we do, let's talk about real quickly what we have coming up later on in the show.
Yeah.
Including a very special roundtable with a WWE icon.
That's dope. I'm looking forward to that, man.
Should be a lot of fun, right?
No doubt, yeah.
Big Daddy Donnie, your bro Danny O.
Yo.
Fat fucking Frank.
That's him.
Scribble F.
I was gonna do a Triple H impression just to mock Frank. I can't do it. Maybe later. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, this is Carlos Ming, former UFC welterweight world champion. You're listening to the O Show.
As a certified personal trainer, I always get asked about healthy snack alternatives. I really had no idea outside of the traditional choices. That is until I found
Organic Select.
Organic Select offers healthy alternatives to everyday eating with a line of 100% certified organic snacks,
including raw cashews, blueberries, pumpkin seeds, and my favorite, Goji Sport Mix.
Organic food is free of pesticides and is more nutritious than conventional products.
Going organic also benefits the environment and supports community farming. For more information, visit organicselect.ca and make healthy living your best revenge.
InsidePulse.com is a pop culture mega site filled with hundreds of original articles, podcasts, and videos each week. Pulse Wrestling is home to Scott Keith and some of the internet's coolest commentary. IPTV features Mertz Jaffer, star of TV Tropolis's Reality Obsessed, blogging and spoiling all of TV's hottest shows, plus UFC, video games, music, and much more. Hey, if you're an Oster, you're going to love InsidePulse.com. It's pop culture that'll make your heart race.
Escúchame, mi gente. This is Rico Montana, and I'm here to tell you how I love Ontario Indie Wrestling. So be like Rico and get to Hammerlock Video on theoshow.com and order your DVDs and see the best in Ontario independent professional wrestling. E si no, te rompo la madre.
Hey, how you doing, wrestling fans? This is Big Beto, toughest man to ever wear a dress. And you're listening to The O Show. You got it? Good. Now listen to it.
Your balls are showing.
Yo, Big Daddy, Bronte, President Danny L. Check. Now who's up on deck?
This week on the Roundtable, the Native American Tatanka.
The Roundtable, baby. It's the Roundtable, baby. Yeah.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Big Daddy Donnie, your bro Danny O.
Yo.
Fat Frank is sitting to my right, and it is a pleasure.
Yes, sir.
To be joined at this time by the Native American, Tatanka. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Chavez, how are you, sir?
I'm doing awesome. I want to give a big shout out there to all the great listeners on The O Show, and I want to thank Big Daddy Donnie and Danny E.O. and yes, also sir. Frank for having me on. It's always a pleasure to be able to speak to the fans worldwide and let them know what I'm doing, and also, again, it's a pleasure to be on a very, very popular show as The O Show.
In respect, man.
And we want to mention that Tatanka will be appearing close to us next Monday. He will be a part of that big show that we sort of talked about briefly last week. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the show, Chris. What can you tell us about it?
Well, first of all, this is a gentleman that I've worked with before, Nick Nitro Wyman. Yeah. I've been doing events with him before in the past, and again, this event is special. Again, it's Brawl at the Bush, but the biggest thing about this is going to be April 26, okay, and I love that I'm coming to, again, Native lands, and really truly being Native America myself. Yeah. It's awesome that I'm going to be with my people, the Six Nations, and actually be on the Six Nations Reserve.
Yeah.
But this is going to be at ILA Arena, and for directions, again, Nick Nitro Wyman, he has a Facebook page. If you go to www.ilarena.com, that'll give you directions to that arena. But the reason this is a special night, because we are definitely laying the smackdown on cancer. And again, Nick, this is very, very special to his heart. So we want all the supporters to come out, because it's just not a wrestling show. It's just not coming to see some of the greatest superstars, because there's a lot of legends,
a lot of names,
actually on this show. A lot of big names, former WWE and TNA superstars. The card is, again, it is a full card of great superstars. But the biggest thing, you're just not coming to see great superstars in the ring. It's always awesome when you can come to an event, enjoy yourself, but also your hard-earned funds are actually going to a great cause.
No doubt.
Again, the great cause is cancer.
Some of the names that will be appearing next Monday, April 26th, include Hillbilly Jim, Jim the Anvil Neidhart, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, former TNA X Division champ Johnny Devine is going to be there, former TNA star Cody Deaner is part of that show. Who else is on that
card? I mean,
it's
cool that they've been in TNA, but those are O Show guys.
Those are our guys, those are our family. And a whole bunch of other big names. I got to think, Tatanka, you're going to be over like crazy at a Six Nations Reserve.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's awesome. I mean, first of all, a lot of people sometimes, they know because, again, I'm traveling all the time. I'm still on top of my game. I'm wrestling every week. I just got back from events, and I'm coming now to West Virginia. Then right after West Virginia, I'm coming to Canada. After that, I come back. I go to New York, New Jersey. So I'm on top of my game, but it's really special for me to be able to be on Native American lands. Again, this is my blood. It's not been some kind of character that I'm played. I'm truly from the Lumbee Nation, which is in Pembroke, North Carolina. There's about over 40,000 of my tribe in that area on our homelands, but there's about probably about 140,000 that's actually registered with the government that call themselves Lumbees. But also, which my latest run with WWE, I actually did sacred rituals with the Sioux,
the
Lakotas, to actually become relative to the Sioux, which is a great honor. So also I can again declare that I am part of the Sioux family. So this is something special for me to be able to be with my native people. Also, that day, Monday, April the 26th, there's going to be a lot of pre-show events, too. From 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m., we're going to be having lunch with some of the fans. It's going to be at Nancy's Variety, number 316, First Lines Road, Six Nations. It's going to be Brutus the Barber Beefcake, myself, and Nick Nitro Wyman, and there's going to be other CWI superstars. Again, I understand they got some great barbecue there, so I'm looking forward to that.
Should be good.
I think also 1:30 to 2:30 p.m., something that's very special to me. I'm actually going to be going to Emily C. General for an inspirational speaking engagement to some of the native kids there about staying away from drugs and alcohol, making the right decisions, believing in yourself, accomplishing those dreams that you have in your heart. Yeah, and that's something that's very, very big. I mentioned to you earlier before we got on this interview, one of the things I'm doing in my free time here is we're constantly helping those that are less fortunate, not only in our local community here, but we're bringing in the Power Team. They're going to be here in my local area in St. Petersburg, Florida, which they come and they talk to all the schools about the same things that I'm talking about, and then they have their shows at nighttime. So this is a big thing for me to actually be able to give back to the youth, because the youth, that is our next professional wrestlers, our next political leaders, our next business owners, radio station hosts, superstars like yourself that are known worldwide through the radio. I mean, these are the superstars of the future and those that are going to lead our country. So we got to get the message out. Also, 4:30 p.m., there's going to be backstage and VIP tickets. It's going to be admitted into the building, so we're going to be meeting people beforehand, and also I will be there to actually sign autographs before the event. So guys, whoever's coming, I'll be having professional 8x10s. Actually, WWE just sent me some of my recent pictures, so I have some new pictures that I have not had anywhere that I will have for this particular event. So again, I'm looking forward. It's absolutely awesome to be able to come to Native American lands and spend time only not only with my people, but it's an honor to be able to perform in front of them.
Mm-hmm. Chris, let me ask you this. Normally, and you mentioned that you're going to be speaking to kids about staying away from drugs and those sorts of things, and that's fabulous. Normally, when they have celebrities do those sorts of things, it's celebrities that have fought their own demons, not the guys that have been on the straight and narrow their entire life. Do you have your own story there?
No, but, that's absolutely great. Now, has Tatanka or any of us, have we all made the right choices? No. No one's ever made the right choices. No one's ever perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect person. We all make mistakes. The thing is when you make a mistake, you learn from your mistake, and you pick yourself up, and you grow from it. That's where you gain that powerful word, which is called wisdom. Have I been out when I was younger and partied here and there and going out and chasing girls and doing this? Yes. But have I had, as some of the wrestlers in the business where they've been strung out on drugs and having problem with pain pills or dealing with cocaine? No. Thank God that I haven't. But have I been out there partying and doing things at times that I shouldn't have done? Yes, in my younger years, yes. But for many, many years now, pretty much for the last 14, 15 years, I've had my head on straight. And doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. You make mistakes. But as far as, doing things that are major mistakes, no. So I think it's great, though, when you do have someone that has had those problems, that has came from that arena, that has had problems with drugs and have overcome it, and now they can relate to a person better. They can let that person know a lot more about what's going on as far as knowing what they're dealing with. So, yes, it's always sometimes better when someone's actually dealt with those situations, because they can relate to that person more. And believe me, I do a lot of work here in St. Petersburg and all over the world helping people. I mean, we actually, here in my local area, we actually have a free clothing store that we actually give brand new clothes or partially, barely used clothes to anyone that needs clothes in the area. And wow. And we also have an opportunity when those people come to be able to talk to them about their life and to be able to encourage them and to be able to speak good things into their lives. So yes, it's very important to be able to do these things, but I think it's great, too, when they're professional wrestlers. And as we all know, it's not a hidden secret. There's many guys out there that have had, as people call it, their demons. They're dealing with things. And it's so unfortunate, guys, because we've lost some great talent way before their time, not because it was their time to go. It's just because they made the wrong choice. Sometimes you can make one wrong choice, and it can totally destroy not only your name, your family, your legacy, and you know one of those people that I'm speaking of. I mean, Chris Benoit. I mean, you know, some people don't want to mention his name. Yes, it's totally wrong with what he did. But, man, it's so unfortunate that there wasn't someone there at that moment to grab his hand and say, listen, it's going to be okay. Because sometimes you don't realize. I've been there at moments like that when I've spoken to someone and did not know what they were dealing with. And because the words I spoke, they changed their mind and said, you don't realize what you just told me changed my whole decision. I was getting ready to go commit suicide. So, you know, it's so important, you know, as we're on this show. Yes, the whole theme is wrestling. The whole theme is coming April, again, the 26th for this big event. And this is, again, an awesome event because I know it's going to be a sold-out event. I'm already hearing the hype already on this end.
Yeah.
But, again, what we're talking about is for a cause. So, you know, never forget that, you know, we always need to take our eyes off ourselves and look to others who need help. And that's what's so great about this event, because we are taking the eyes off of just having a true regular professional wrestling event, but being able to reach out to others. So yes, I do talk to other people. Have I dealt with those? I've made mistakes in my life, but I've never had that problem that a lot of the guys have had in our business.
I wanted to ask you about that. I wanted to ask you, Tatanka, man, because it's awesome to know that you're so busy. You're keeping on top of your game, as you said, still wrestling.
Yeah.
But unlike, and just like you said, man, you know, this industry has seen a lot of guys. You know, the headlines continue to be negative, not just in general, because they are negative in general, but with respect to wrestlers, you don't hear enough of these the good stories. The fact that, you know, Tatanka keeps busy and you're not just doing your thing, but
he's clean.
You still not. He's clean himself, but you're lending your time and efforts to so many good
community,
causes.
Yeah.
In a way, I guess I just kind of want to know maybe what's your secret, if you can impart some knowledge to our listeners as to how have you been able to manage in an industry where we continually hear over and over again it's impossible to stay off.
We hear the bad. That's all we hear. The good.
How have you managed to stay off that court?
Here's what I would say to that, and that's a great question. That's an awesome, awesome question. Again, what it comes to, and I would tell you this, again, no one's perfect. You're not going to find any place that's perfect. No business is perfect.
Well,
you know, but, you know, the greatest statements, the greatest slogans in the world, it's not how many times you get knocked down.
Yeah.
It's how many times you get up. That's a true winner. You know, winners don't sit down. Winners get knocked down. I mean, there's many great business people all throughout the world now that are billionaires, but do you realize how many times that they actually fall bankruptcy?
Right.
So you got to understand that life definitely throws curves at you, but you can't let it get you down.
Mm.
Life is not our life is not something that is promised that every day is going to be perfect. So you got to be able to be strong, and when those punches come, you got to be able, when you get knocked down, you got to be able to get back up.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, as we're speaking now, you need to know that one decision can radically affect your life. It can radically affect your life in a positive way,
right,
or it can radically affect your life in a negative way. And we're talking about drugs, alcohol. Is it wrong to have to go out and have a glass of wine or a couple glasses of wine? No, okay? But it's when you're addicted to something, it's when you've got to drink just not one or two glasses, you can't stop. That's when you have a problem. You got to be careful of the people you hang around with. You got to be careful of that group of people that you're hanging around with. You know, peer pressure is so strong in the world today. Everyone's trying to be cool. Everyone's trying to be this or that, and they don't understand what they're getting themselves into, and usually it's too late by the time they find out. You know, again, yeah. I was talking about this story the other day. I mean, a great entertainer, Michael Jackson. You remember back in the days when he was singing all of those songs, back in the days when he was dancing? He was so innocent back in the day, but as he got more famous and made more money and he wasn't grounded where he should have been, he just got more on the wrong side until crazy things came out about him, and he was really acting weird. And here's a guy that was gone way before his time because he was strung out on, you know, medical drugs. Again, the way that I do this, again, to be quite frank with you, is my faith, you know, being a Native American. You never need to speak to a Native American. Do they believe in a spiritual life? There is a true spiritual life. You know, Native Americans all know that. But I'm really strong in my faith with God, and I think that's one of the biggest things that's not talked about today in our business. Shawn Michaels, on his retirement, I was proud of him because he really opened up and he really said, hey, not too many guys liked me back in the day, and they had every reason not to like him. Believe me, that was Shawn Michaels back in the day. And but, you know, he was honest, and he told the truth, and he said, this is what's kept my life together, meaning, you know, his faith in God. And that's really what changed Shawn. Shawn, I remember him in the 90s. He was on a road to have a head collision. That's the reason he was saying he was so happy that Vince stuck by his side. Vince did stand by his side and helped him out through certain situations. But, you know, me, I have that faith that grounds me, and I have those words that are in me that stay inside of me, the wisdom from above, that I know that if I go over here and I play over here, I know this is going to be a mistake. I know it's going to lead me, and it's going to bring trouble and hardship in my life. And you see it every day. You see people gain great wealth, and all of a sudden they lose every bit of their wealth. They work 15, 20 years to lose every bit of it. I know guys in our business, guys, that were making back in the 80s $40,000 a week. Wow. Today, they don't even have a car. They don't even have a home.
Well, yeah.
They
have nothing. Those guys all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's because of not having the wisdom inside of you. Not to get on to, if you're spiritual, a full spiritual thing here, but it's so important to have that wisdom from above, because that wisdom is different than the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world will tell you, no, go out, be famous, get everything you can for yourself, keep it all for yourself, just think about me, myself, and I. No, that's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. You know, you'll find out the people that truly have happiness and joy and all of the things that we're speaking of in their life is balanced are those that, you know, they have that wisdom inside of themselves, but they know their life is not just about me, myself, and I. Help others when you have the opportunity. That's where the true joy comes in.
No doubt.
You know, getting those type of wisdom, you start making the right choices. Doesn't mean you make every choice right, but when it comes to a big decision, when someone's looking in front of you and they're going, hey, why don't you come on over here, this is where we're going, you go, nah, that's okay, you know, I've got some other plans, but thank you very much. Because usually those things, I hear about those decisions that people make, and you hear about it later on, and you cringe because you go, wow. Because you heard that they went somewhere, and you knew what they did, and now they're not with us today.
Yeah.
So,
again,
one decision today. I mean, again, Chris Benoit, unfortunate. One decision took away his family, took away him, and made the major company totally wipe his legacy completely off the face of the earth. They won't even mention his name.
No, you're right.
And I totally disagree with what he did, but it's a shame because here you have a great wrestler that, you know, did have a family, and I knew he loved his son, but in that heat of that moment, unless you're grounded, unless you have something that you ground yourself in, and it just can't be something. It's got to be the truth, you know? It's got to be the truth.
You've got to be confident being yourself. You have to feel comfortable being you.
With all due respect, I mean, I think Benoit had his own belief system, and he had his own faith and structures, but I mean, he was so far gone. The amount of damage to his brain was so far gone.
That correct. And most people don't. Most people, and you're right on. If you remember, you know, and I'm a totally disagreement of how everyone, it was like boom, boom, steroids, right. steroids. But all of a sudden, your heart, he just completely dropped. The reason it completely dropped is because when they did do the autopsy and they seen how his brain was and it was mush, and then everyone started realizing, oh my God, Chris Benoit did all this headbutts off the top of the ring rope, and how many times would he miss and hit his head up again? I've hit my head up against that mat. It's not soft.
Well, not to mention the years of, he was one of the only guys, right, Chris, that would take the unprotected chair shot to the back of the head.
Oh, yes. I mean, Chris Benoit, I wrestled him. He had the greatest nickname, Wolverine. He was truly a Wolverine. He would just keep coming. You would literally have to shut him down. It wasn't like, okay, Chris, stop for a second. No. He was so aggressive, you'd have to stop. You'd have to really shut him down.
His nickname
He's
really
old
was...
old school,
yeah,
you know?
His again, nickname really was from, a shoot. You know,
yeah, he was a shoot. Look where he came from. I mean, he came from that era of the Hearts and shooting and all those guys, and that's when wrestling was totally different than what it is today. Not to take anything away, but, you know, again, wrestling is not what it was in the 90s. Everywhere I go, and I'm sure you're hearing it, everywhere, not to take anything away from WWE, but everywhere I go, if people had an opportunity to turn on the 90s or what they're watching today, they turn the 90s on 99.9% of the time.
No doubt, yeah.
Chris.
And it's because it's changed so much, and there's many, many reasons for that, and there's much stuff I can go over that, but I'm going to let you guys control the interview instead of me controlling the interview.
I want to ask you a question.
Ask whatever you want.
Yeah, here's a question that I have in mind, and it's apropos because you mentioned Benoit and you mentioned so many of the guys that have left us way too soon. We've had a lot of emails over the last few months from fans that have asked questions like, why is TNA dominated by Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair? Why is the WWE dominated by Triple H and The Undertaker? Why is it that the guys that are past 40 years of age, and in some cases 50 or 60 years of age, why is it that those guys are taking up all the TV time? Where's the next generation that's supposed to have stepped up? And, you know, it dawned on me this week. I was just doing some thinking about this. Like, really, what's going on here? And if you think about it, 10 years ago, we were looking at the state of professional wrestling, and we were thinking, there's not enough spots for all these top guys and all these guys that are about to be top guys.
Yes.
What happened? Well, The Rock became a multimillionaire in Hollywood. Stone Cold had serious injuries and had to retire early. Owen Hart passed away. You had Chris Benoit, you had Eddie Guerrero, you had Brock Lesnar, who was supposed to be the next
big thing.
Really? And all of a sudden he's got a new career where he's the next big thing over there. Is this really what we're looking at? Like the fact that promoters / bookers of TV product don't have enough faith in the late 20s, 30s crowd because they weren't the ones that were supposed to be there. It was supposed to be a whole other crop of guys that, for whatever reason, aren't with us anymore.
Right.
Well, there's two things, and that's definitely a great question. I mean, as we all know, I'm in great shape, but the bottom line is this. The guys from the 80s, okay, which some of the names you mentioned actually started in the 80s. I started in the 90s. Yeah. Eventually, these guys going to have to be gone, just like eventually me. I have to stop, you know. So you're going to have to raise up the young talent. You got to build them up. The problem is Vince himself, okay? One thing with WWE, you have to understand that company. That company is a massive animal. That company is truly a billion-dollar company. Of course, I've been right there and sat right down with Vince. I've seen the inside workings. I've been in the top spots. I've made the money. I know about particulars about that company. And that company is an animal. But also because of that animal, there's definitely a lot of diplomacy. There's a lot of politicking that goes on behind the scenes. I wish that it didn't happen because that does happen a lot of times, what you just said.
Yeah.
There's guys that should be in spots that could truly draw more money for the company that the fans would rather see in that spot. But because of politics, because of knowing this person, or because of this person being with this person, or because of family or whatever, people are in positions that you're just not going to move them out of those positions until they're ready to step down out of those positions. Now, Undertaker, yes, he has been a main puller for that company ever since he came in when I came in the 90s. He's been a top moneymaker for that company, so he should actually be at the top of that company, but does he need to continue to be in the ring at all the time and in that top spot? But I tell you one thing about Taker.
Does he need a title?
Taker today is, it's unbelievable what he can do in the ring compared to in the 90s, because I was with Taker. I drove with Undertaker. That was my road partner for the whole first 6 years when I started with WWE. That's who I rode with. If I wasn't riding with him, I was riding with all the Samoans, meaning Yoko, Fatu, and Sammy. When I wasn't with them, I was with Taker. Just me and Taker all the time in the car, staying at the same hotels, going to the gym, doing everything together. Taker hardly worked out. He would go to the gym and work out, but he never did cardio. Now he's a cardio animal.
Yeah,
that's the reason why he can still be doing what he's doing and actually go to WrestleMania last year, not this year, and do a 45-minute match and tear the house down. You know, but Taker's got to eventually step out of that position. But I think also, you know, it's the bookers, too. The bookers, it's not that they don't have faith in these guys, but you can't take it away from the Hulk Hogans, the Flairs, just like Dixie Carter. She knows that they have a name, and she knows, even though that they're older, but just by using that name, viewers are going to tune in. And guess what? They tuned in the first time that they showed up. But you can't have those guys out there wrestling after it's all said and done, like I've been saying for a while. The guys that you're bringing in, you might be able to mix them with some of the young talent, but at the end of the day, they still got to be able to get in the ring and throw down.
Yeah.
If you can't get in the ring and throw down, you just can't continue to do interviews. You just can't keep doing personal appearances and expect for the crowd to stick there. So you got to raise up some of these young talent. But I think what the biggest problem we have, guys, is WWE has got people from the Hollywood movie scene, and they've got people that's coming out of college that are in story writing.
Yes.
And same thing that you have in TNA. That is the biggest problem, because you got guys that are looking at wrestling with a movie mentality, with a Hollywood mentality, with an education out of college, and the best years of wrestling, even Rock and Stone Cold, even The Rock, the best years of wrestling were from guys that actually were wrestlers themselves, that were actually successful. And who I'm meaning by that at WWE, Pat Patterson, the Booker. He's the one that was right there with The Rock, that created that whole character with The Rock and focused on that whole character and tweaked it and fine-tuned it along with Rock's abilities and took it what it ended up being, a multi-million dollar character. So you got guys that are in spots that don't know nothing about wrestling. They've never stepped in a wrestling ring, and they don't know how to write storylines, and they don't know how to truly develop a character. We have no characters anymore.
So
everyone
true.
Comes through the curtain, and they look exactly almost the same as each other.
Yep.
Everybody, you remember back in the 80s and the 90s, every person that came through the curtain
had a gimmick.
It didn't look exact at all. Everyone was different, from Rick the Model Martel to the British Bulldog to Legion of Doom to
Barbarian,
to Warlord to Tatanka.
It was almost
Hulk
comical.
Hogan, to Ultimate Warrior to Randy Macho Man Savage.
Yeah.
You keep naming it, Repo Man.
Yeah.
Skinner, keeping it, Doink the Clown. Everybody was totally unique and totally different. And also, they had a character, and now you can write that character because you know what he's supposed to be.
Right.
Nowadays, guys don't, the writers don't even know
what's your gimmick.
Who is he?
You know, in those days, the only guys that didn't have a gimmick were the jobbers that were putting over those guys on weekly TV.
Right.
If a guy didn't, have a gimmick, you knew he was a jobber.
And I think the biggest problem, what you just said, is our writers, okay, but also the powers to be at companies and the diplomacy and the politicking that goes on behind the stages. And unfortunately, the guys that have been in this business, the Hulk Hogans, he's been doing the politicking and diplomacy for years. The Ric Flair, been doing it for years. Undertaker, same thing. But Undertaker goes out and works his butt off. You know,
does.
I give it to him.
He
works his butt off. You know, he can still get in the ring and go, and he'll still come. I mean, look what he did with Kennedy, coming off the top of a, the telethon, you know, and pay-per-views. I mean, you know, he will put it in for Vince. Vince is taking care of him in the same return. He does whatever, you know, for Vince, too. So, you know, he's earned his keep, you know, and okay. Shawn Michaels, too. And, you know, and Triple H works hard, but, you know, these guys, because of certain reasons, have gotten those positions, and you ain't moving them. They're part of the foundation,
yeah.
You know, but also that hurts situations because now they have their friends, and people in the booking office or in the executive office have their favorites, and it doesn't matter if someone comes in. I will tell you one thing for sure that I know for sure, and I like speaking the truth. I'm about the truth. Again, it's not that I've not made mistakes, okay, but I like speaking the truth.
Yeah.
But I do live my life every day pretty much making all the right choices. One thing that we have in our business, which is terrible, someone will be picked, okay, to be that guy. Mm-hmm. And I won't mention any names because you'll probably understand this as I say this. Someone
Cena.
Is to be that guy.
Yes.
And you might have the fans not wanting that guy and expressing that by
yeah.
chanting and saying certain things and going for months and months
you
and months.
Wrestle.
But because someone is very powerful and that's their guy, no one's going to go against that person, because you go against that person, even say one word, you're gone out of the company.
Wow.
You know, that's a wrong thing. You should not be able to say something that could be a positive about the company or maybe a bigger money maker, because if you say that, you know you're going to get fired, so you
yeah.
keep your mouth quiet. That's not right.
Wrestling's not
that's
a democratic
not right.
process.
A corporate board, a major company, sets down at a board of directors meeting, which I'm on a board of directors also here with our group here that we do all the work helping people. We go, okay, what do you think? What do you think? What? And we look for the best decision. Doesn't matter who makes that decision. We work together as a team. Unfortunately, you know, with wrestling, unfortunately, some of those decisions cannot be brought to the table, because if you bring it to the table, watch out. Your head could be put on the chopping block. So what I'm saying is, if there's a guy that they pick and it's going to be that guy, they're going to keep him there and keep him there and keep him there until finally, you know, you finally do like him. And some
yeah.
guys can come in with no push, not even having a bout, and can get the same crowd response as that person. So if you really did the work with that person, you could take them way even further, which is not even better for that person, but better for the company overall. So that's one of the things that hurts wrestling, that there are talent today at both companies
yeah.
that could be in those top spots, that could be doing better for that company, better overall for wrestling, but unfortunately, they can't get there, and usually they will never get there because they're dealing with power.
Yeah.
And when you're dealing with power, it's hard to break
politics
that power unless
won't let
you
them
become
get that
part
spot.
Of that power team.
Chris, we've only got about 90 seconds left, and we have to ask you this quick sort of two-part mini question here.
Yes.
You had a very successful and surprising run in 2006 in the WWE, and you alluded to it at the top of the interview where you talked about your induction into the Sioux family and all of that. And
right.
then you even did this almost surprising heel turn where you came out with the new war paint and the black and white and this whole new look. And all of a sudden, surprisingly, after cutting these great promos where you talked about the losing streak that you had been on that led to that gimmick change, and then you talked about how, you know, it's just like how your people have been oppressed for centuries and this and that. And then all of a sudden, we hear the story that Tatanka has asked for his release from World Wrestling Entertainment. I want to know if you can speak to that, because it's very rare, especially guys from your era, that get that shot to come back that then ask for a release. Usually those guys will sit around and draw that paycheck as long as they can.
Well, and you're correct. But there's two things about me. Number one, I've stayed, I mean, this is what I've been doing ever since 1990. I have my own website, nativetatanka.com. Sounds exactly what it is, nativetatanka.com.
Yeah, we'll get the links up on those.
And I market myself. And plus, people contact me. So I'm booked all over the world. I travel all over the world doing events, and I'm going to talk about my little events. I go where events are sold out. I've been over in Europe where we've had 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people. I've been to Australia where we've had 15,000 people. But the bottom line with WWE is
yeah, why'd you leave?
Yes. Vince still took care of me when I was there.
Yeah.
But the situation, to be quite frank and to be open, is I came back, and when I came back, it's because they invited me to come to a Monday Night Raw. They contacted me. It was at Mohegan Sun.
Yeah.
It was only a one-time event.
Right.
But when my music hit, fan response, they popped.
Yeah.
And sitting right at that curtain is Vince McMahon and Johnny Laurinaitis, vice president, and also whoever else is there as far as top booking, okay? But Vince and Johnny Laurinaitis, they heard that, and they instantly talked to me about a contract. I instantly came back, and then I did the Royal Rumble down in Miami, and they started chanting that Seminole War chant. So then we did the vignettes, okay, with the Lakotas, where I became this new warrior, and all of this stuff that we showed. And then I came back, okay, they showed all that for 4 weeks on TV.
Yeah.
They said, Tatanka returns this week, okay? When they hit my music, when I was at the live event, the place exploded. And yeah. I'm not talking about myself here. I want to let you know exactly what I was talking about earlier.
No, I agree. The
place exploded.
Yeah, huge pop.
Okay. And then after that, okay, for no reason at all, not because I did nothing wrong, I was off TV for 4 weeks.
Hmm. Yeah, that's the world of the WWE these days.
Okay,
right?
but see, sometimes they already know, okay, we're going to bring him in and we're going to have him here, but sometimes you come in and you're going to get more response than someone else and go, oh, we don't want that. So it's called cooling off.
So weird.
Yeah, they totally kill your heat.
Now, you got it.
Did you feel...
And it's not because nothing's wrong. It's not because you've done anything. It's because the people want you and they go, wait a minute, that's not what we want. And instead of them coming outside of the box, okay,
yeah.
They keep themselves in the box, but sometimes it's because who knows who and da 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 da.
Yeah.
And so what happened there is it just not that nothing was wrong, I was getting paid, but I don't want to sit in a locker room and just collect a big check, and I want to work, you know. The workers in our business, we want to work,
yeah.
You know, I want to work. That's where we enjoy, being in the ring, performing, especially the old school guys. We want to perform and pull that crowd into the ring. So then we made a decision to switch to go to the other side, but not really be heel, but to turn for your native people, and we showed all that portrayal of me being taken advantage of. They made this big thing with Bobby Lashley, which was one of their top stars at that time, that I just beat the dog crap out of, and I come out and cut an interview with him, and people were already biting on that and going with that, and then what happens?
They cooled you.
Off TV for 4 weeks.
Wow. So is that ultimately what it was? Did you feel like you were being...
Oh, ultimately, exactly. I'm being 100% honest with you.
You felt disrespected?
I would tell you there other top superstars there at that time that came up to me, and I'm talking about the top names that would look at me and shake their head and just go, I can't understand it. Even Pat Patterson himself said, what is wrong? Here you are, made all this money with this company before. What are they doing? I mean, it's not that they're hurting you, but what are they doing? Just not running with you and going.
Totally.
You made money before. You're in great shape now.
Yeah.
Go. What are they doing? But see, again, the writers in the company, and Vince is not, unfortunately, it's got so big, as I close with this, it's got so big. Before in the day, everything Vince had his finger on. He had his finger on the pulse. The company's too big. He can't do that anymore. So he has to trust other people. Unfortunately, as that native saying is, there's too many chiefs in the one tribe. There's supposed to be one chief. Back in the day of the 80s and 90s, there was one chief, and it was Vince McMahon. He was right there when you were cutting the interview. He was right there when you were doing the interview. Now he has to trust so many other people, and he can't change all this. He has to trust so many other people, and unfortunately, at times, all the stuff that works behind the scene, sometimes someone just gets, not that anything happens, but you're just sitting there. And unfortunately, guys like myself just don't want to sit there. So did I actually officially ask for my own release? Yes. And have I been busy ever since? Yes. I've even made a return to TNA. TNA even wants me there. But again, I've been watching. I mean, after my return, they were ecstatic about me being there. The agents, the executives, Taz, all of them were going, oh, my God, we need to have you here. We need to have you here. But I've been waiting to see what they're doing, and quite frankly, I thought they'd be doing a lot more than what they're doing.
Yeah. Don't count on it.
Correct. And, you know, because, again, there is a market there, but it seems like people are not catching it. But I got a feeling, okay, that someone's going to fill that market, okay? Someone's going to fill that market of what the people truly want and truly bring what the people truly want because, you know, wrestling's been great entertainment for many, many years. People love it, but we need to bring what the people want. And it has a lot to do with all the things that we've talked about ever since we started this interview.
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest has been the Native American Tatanka, Chris Chavez. It is an absolute pleasure,
no doubt,
to sit back and listen to this man who is clearly passionate about everything he has going on in his life, and passionate when he talks about where he's come from, passionate when he talks about his culture, and it's been an absolute treat. If you are anywhere in the Southern Ontario, Western New York, Northern Michigan areas, make sure you get to the Six Nations Reserve on Monday, April 26th for Brawl at the Bush. It's a cancer benefit show supporting, I believe it's the recently deceased mother of the promoter, Nick Nitro Wyman. There are a whole host of names. We're going to have the poster for that event up on the oshow.com so you can get all the details, all the information. Make sure you all check that out. Chris, thank you so much. It's been an absolute honor and a privilege.
Yeah, man, I just wanted to say thank you, especially because what a good news story in the midst of all the bad news we've been going around the nation of recently. So, definitely a privilege and a pleasure to have you on, my man.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Big Daddy Donnie and Danny O, and also you, Frank. And again, my
nobody
hats
thanks,
off
Frank.
To an awesome show, the O Show. It was just a pleasure to be able to speak to you guys. And again, anyone out there listening, if you want to keep up with me, nativetatanka.com.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You.
The link is definitely up on the site.
Pretty.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Native American Tatanka. Absolutely a fun interview for us. You know, Frank mentioned before we went on air, he's like, I was a huge mark for that guy when I was
totally.
A kid. How could you not be? He had a 2-year undefeated streak.
Yeah, that's right. Speaking of undefeated streaks earlier today, that's right.
Which, you know, that was a huge deal back in those days.
No doubt.
You know, even remember his, what was it, WrestleMania 9, that amazing match he had with Shawn Michaels.
Yes. Yeah, man.
Remember that?
That's right, man. He's been, you know, a little bit underrated, if you ask me, man.
Totally.
Based on his impact and his abilities in that squared circle.
His work
though.
Rate is fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, the match he had on TNA not very long ago was tremendous. His run in the Fed, when they brought him in for a one-timers, and he talked about it, and then he was over, and they kept him around. Originally, they were going to keep him around just as a vet to work with so many of the young guys in SmackDown. Next thing you know, he's over like crazy. He's got his own story, but then, like he said, they kept icing him off.
It's ridiculous when you get something that's so good, you got to bury it.
I'll
never understand that type of thinking at all. But really cool, especially in the midst, like I said, everything that's been going on. A good news story in that the man's still around in great shape, working a lot, and doing very well, man.
You know, a friend of ours, Joe E. Legend, who is here in studio, a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Joe E. Legend, who lives over in Germany, he worked what he said was a 4.5-5-star match with Tatanka just a couple months ago.
Wow.
It was right before he had that match in TNA. Tatanka did.
Wow.
And Legend said that he couldn't believe how good Tatanka
That's
was
awesome.
At this point of his career. He said, this guy is unbelievable. He's as good or better than he ever was.
Clearly, he has made some right decisions, man. Man,
I mean, Joe Legend, in my opinion, is one of the top pound-for-pound workers there is.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Very cool,
holds
man.
Weight for me, baby. Although, I've always been a mark for that dude.
No doubt, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, episode 164 is in the books.
164.
My name is Big Daddy Donnie. That's your bro, Danny O.
Yes, sir.
Fatty Frank Fronte. We have to thank those who took part this week, including the notorious TID.
Yes, sir.
The aforementioned Native American Tatanka. Thanks to the guys from Brawl at the Bush.
Yeah.
Brawl in the Bush with their big show Monday, April 26th. Thanks to Nick Nitro for putting that interview together.
No doubt.
For us. Also, thanks to...
Big thanks to Organic Select. We've been munching all show.
Oh, my God. I've been yamming down these wild blueberries.
I've made a decision. There's so many that I've in the past several weeks since Organic Select...
Eat some more.
You've been yamming all show.
I'm fucking eat some right now.
Since they've become a sponsor, we've had like almost, I don't know if we've had everything, but they've had so much stuff.
I want the pumpkin seeds.
Bridget, that's what I was telling Frank. Is like, nigga, hook up the pumpkin seeds.
Yeah, call your connected organic select.
But dog, the chocolate covered almonds,
fucking good.
They done the party for me.
Oh, I didn't have those yet. You devoured those all by yourself?
Killed us.
Fucking asshole.
After last week's episode, so guy.
The butterscotch guy eating all the chocolate.
Done no, Bridget. So check out organicselect.ca because, man, that's some good shit.
Yes, it is.
No doubt.
Visit all our sponsor links on theoshow.com. Check them all out because without their support, we can't do this. We should also mention some people have been asking us about this. Where are the archives of the Osho radio program? The Osho radio program is in a transitional state right now. So anything older than the last 3 weeks, you're not going to be able to find the archive for it right now. Everything is moving from our former server over to PowWeb. Excuse me, from PowWeb over to Podomatic. Okay? The reason being, PowWeb basically got hot at us because all of you download this shit way too often and said, sorry, you've exceeded your bandwidth, you violated your terms of service, we no longer want you here. And we said, wait a minute, we're paying for the unlimited bandwidth.
Right.
And they said, yeah, unlimited bandwidth has a limit.
Wow.
So apparently all of y'all fucked us, and thank you, though. And it's kind of fucking we like.
And if I understood what any of that stuff meant, I'd try and help out.
It means we were too popular for PowWeb.
Nice.
So
it's a good thing.
Peace to those fuckers, and off to Podomatic we go.
All right.
Been working with the transition team over at Podomatic, and they've been working real hard to transition all of our shit for us.
And I have been noticing we got some new specialized graphics for our shows now.
Yeah, so things are changing. And also, I know I've said this before, but the new version of the Osho.com will be launched hopefully in the month of May.
Can't wait, man. I know that's been a long time coming. So
it's been a long, long time.
It'll be worth the wait, man.
The new site, I know some people are going to freak out. They're going to be like, oh my God, it's so different. Oh my God, but you know what? It's clean. It's organized. It's easy to find shit. One of the biggest complaints we've always had, how do I listen to all the old shows, the archives? It's a real pain in the ass. It's going to be so goddamn easy. It's all going to be there for you.
You computer nerds will like it. I will be fucking hating it, but you guys, you guys will find it easy.
You're going to love it.
Can't wait.
You're going to love it more than a finger in your butt.
Hitting my G-spot?
That's right.
Gross.
We got to get the fuck out of here.
We do, man.
Sorry to the Osters with something to say. We couldn't run that segment this week because we wanted to dedicate the time to Tatanka. We'll try and do that for you next week.
No doubt.
As well, apologies to the Black Prophet. I know he's probably going to hate on us for not getting to him. He'll hate on me. He doesn't hate on Daniel.
Not at all, man.
No, you're best friends.
Exactly.
Of course. Make sure you visit us across the internet, facebook.com/theoshow. You can also visit us on all of our affiliates, including insidepulse.com, wrestling-radio.com, angrymarks.com, audiowrestling.com, showdown.net, Action Radio,
as well as
all across MySpace, all across Facebook.
Oh, shit. We everywhere, son.
The Osho Radio Network continues to grow. And that's another nice thing about the Podomatic transition. If you want to join the Osho Radio Network, it is now easier than ever. Email info@theoshow.com for more information on how exactly you can do that.
Dope.
164, done the party.
No
Daniel,
doubt.
We can only go out on one song.
Absolutely, man. And I was surprised and pleasantly surprised to hear this is in your top five of all time.
All time.
God bless you, Guru.
Guru.
Rest in peace, man. One of the illest MCs and part of the illest groups of hip-hop ever. This is right up there with Jam Master Jay's passing. When you talk about
a
real pioneer.
What about Jay Dilla's?
I mean, Jay Dilla's huge, and you know that, obviously. But I'm talking Jam Master Jay. We're talking about Run DMC, a group who came out in the 80s, pioneered hip-hop.
Yeah.
You know, Gangstar dropped their first record in the late 80s. Yeah. This was a pioneer. This is one of the trendsetters, the real foundation.
This is also Frank's first time hearing Gangstar.
Probably.
Is that true?
Shoot.
And the opposite of
Pay
Shoot.
Pay attention, Frank. You're going to like this.
Well, good segue, because the opposite of Shoot, of course, is A Work.
And that's the track, ladies and gentlemen, my all-time fave, Guru in Tow and the Gang Star. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Work. We'll see y'all next week.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do? Boy, what is it you want to do when you grow up?
Hey, yo, I'm going to be a titter. That's all my eyes can see. Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been laying.
waiting for your next mistake. I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Now I'ma start collecting props, connecting plots, networking like a conference. Cause the nonsense is yet to stop. Jake, shake me down. Haters wanna take me down, break me down, clap. All they heard was a sound. Yo, I scoped it out. I took your weak dream and choked it out. Your bitch don't really got no ass. She just poked it out on the D-Lo. I'm saying you versus me, yo. We can do this shit right here in front of your people. See, time is money, kid, and BS walks. And to me, it's funny, kid, when you meet heads talk. I see feds talk. They wanna dig up the dirt, son. Is it me they hawk? Cause I be putting in work,
son. Gonna be on tit up. That's all my eyes can see. Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame. Waiting for your next mistake. I put in work and watch my status escalate.
Your cornballs get stonewalled, blackballed. I own y'all. The veteran running my plan. I'm the better man. Crazy raw, doing my job like the mob. Blazing y'all and disappearing in the fog or a mist. And chicks can't resist what I kick. They be begging for attention on some more of the deals, Nick. Word up, baby. Someone may have to get hurt up, baby. Shit is mad shady, but I got to get the gravy. Platinum respect like the force of a tech. Keep you hitting the deck, feeling heat in your chest. Banging your thoughts with the hot onslaught. A kid got shot on the spot for going where he should not. Viciously, I make history instantly. Those other lame-ass loser-ass niggas, they can't fuck with me. I'm doing my thing now to lamp later on. Paid in the shade with some fly gators on. But now I'm grimy as they get, mud on my pants and shirt. I bet you niggas out here know I be putting in work.
I'm gonna be on tit-up. That's all my eyes can see. Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame. Waiting for your next mistake. I put in work and watch my status escalate.
For the qualified throw in this business of rap.